2. In the end, Kemerov won. Kell won. It had been a staggeringly close match between the reigning champion and the so-called Silver Knight. The crowd looked dizzy from holding its breath, the arena a mess of broken stone and black ice, half the obstacles cracked or chipped or in ruins. The way he'd moved, the way he'd fought. Even in their short time together, Lila had never seen him fight like that. A single point. He'd won by a single point, unseated the champion, and all she could think was, he's holding back. Even now, he's holding back.
Stacion! Stacion!
Lila dragged her thoughts away from Kell. She had her own more pressing concerns. Her second match was about to begin. She was standing in the middle of the Western arena, the stands awash in silver and black, the Faroan's pale green pennant only an accent in the crowd. Across from her stood the man himself, Varasis, an orb of tinted earth in each palm. Lila considered the magician. He was lithe, his limbs long and thin and twined with muscle, his skin the color of char, and his eyes an impossibly pale green, the same as his flag. Set deep into his face, they seemed to glow. But it was the gold that most caught her interest. Most of the Faroans she'd seen wore gems on their skin, but Varasis wore gold. Beneath his mask, which concealed only the top half of his head, beads of the precious metal traced the lines of his face and throat in a skeletal overlay. Lila wondered if it was a kind of status symbol, a display of wealth. But displaying your wealth was just asking to be robbed of it, and she wondered how hard it would be to remove the beads. How did they stay on? Glue? Magic? No, she noticed the ornaments on Varasis hadn't been stuck in place exactly. They'd been buried, each one embedded in the skin. The modification was expertly done, the flesh around the beads barely raised, creating the illusion that the metal had grown straight from his face. But she could see the faint traces of scarring where flesh and foreign object met. That would certainly make robbing difficult. And messy.
Astal, said the judge in white and gold. Prepare.
The crowd stilled, holding its breath. The Faroan lifted his orbs, waiting for her to do the same. Lila held out her spheres, fire and water, said a quick prayer, and let go. Alucard filled two glasses from the decanter on the table. The glass was halfway to Lila's lips when he said,
I wouldn't drink that if I were you.
She stopped and peered at the contents. What is this?
Avis wine. Mostly.
Mostly, she echoed. She squinted, and sure enough she could see particles of something swirling in the liquid. What have you put in it?
Red sand.
I assume you contaminated my favorite drink for a reason.
Indeed.
He set his own glass back on the table.
Tonight you're going to learn to influence two elements simultaneously.
I can't believe you ruined a bottle of Avis wine.
I told you magic was a conversation.
You also said it was an ocean, said Lila, and a door, and once I think you even called it a cat.
Well, tonight we're calling it a conversation. We're simply adding another participant. The same power, different lines.
I've never been able to pat my head and rub my stomach at the same time.
Well then, this should be interesting.
Lila gasped for breath. Varasis was circling, and her body screamed, still aching from the day before. And yet, tired as she was, the magic was there, under her skin, pulsing to get out. They were even, 6-6. Sweat ran into her eyes as she ducked, dodged, leapt, struck. A lucky blow took out the plate on the Faroan's bicep. 7-6. Water spun before her in a shield,
turning to ice every time Varices struck. It shattered beneath his blows, but better the shield than her precious plates. The ruse didn't work for long. After the second block, he caught on and followed up his first attack with another. Lila lost two more plates in a matter of seconds. 7 to 8. She could feel her strength ebbing, and the Pharaohan only seemed to get stronger, faster. Fire and water was proving to be a wretched choice. They couldn't touch. Every time they did, they cancelled, turning to steam or smoke. And that gave her an idea. She maneuvered to the nearest boulder, one low enough to scale, and brought the two forces together in her hands. White smoke billowed forth, filling the arena, and in its cover she turned and vaulted up onto the rock. From above she could see the swirl of air made by Varices as he turned, trying to find her. Lila focused and the streams separated. The water became mist and then ice, freezing around him, while her fire surged up into the air and then rained down. Varices got his earth into an arcing shield, but not before she broke two of his plates. 9 to 8. Before she could savor the advantage, a spike of earth shot through the air at her and she leaped backward off the boulder and straight into a trap. Varices was there, inside her guard, four earthen spears hurtling toward her. There was no way to avoid the blows, no time. She was going to lose, but it wasn't just about the match, not in this moment, because those spears were sharp, as sharp as the ice that had pierced Kel's shoulder. Panic spiked through her, the way it had so many times when a knife came too close, and she felt the balance tip, the kiss of danger, the brush of death. No! Something surged inside her, something simple and instinctual, and in that moment, the whole world slowed. It was magic, it had to be, but unlike anything she'd ever done. For an instant, the space inside the arena seemed to change, slowing her pulse and drawing out the fractions of time within the second, stretching the moment, not much, just long enough for her to dodge and roll and strike. One of Varices' spears still grazed her arm, breaking the plate and drawing blood. But it didn't matter, because Varices' body took an instant, that same stolen instant, too long to move, and her ice hit him in the side, shattering his final plate. And just like that, the moment snapped closed and everything caught up. She hadn't noticed the impossible quiet of that suspended second until it collapsed. In its wake, the world was chaos. Her arm was stinging, and the crowd had exploded into cheers. But Lila couldn't stop staring at Varices, who was looking down at himself as if his body had betrayed him, as if he knew that what had just happened wasn't possible. But if Lila had broken the rules, no one else seemed to notice. Not the judge or the king or the cheering stands.
"Victory goes to Stacion Elsor,"
announced the man in white and gold. Varices glowered at her, but he didn't call foul. Instead, he turned and stormed away. Lila watched him go. She felt something wet against her lip and tasted copper. When she reached her fingers through the jaws of her mask and touched her nose, they came away red. Her head was spinning. But that was all right. It had been a tough fight, and she had won. She just wasn't sure how.